All right, my friends, thanks for tuning into the podcast, where, as always, we'll discuss the professional literature and the evidence-based protocol as they relate to the effective treatment of clinically significant anxiety symptoms. I'm Chris Lines, licensed psychotherapist and OCD spectrum disorders treatment specialist, and this, well, this is OCD Straight Talk. This podcast is made possible by NoCD. NoCD offers effective, affordable, and convenient OCD therapy. NoCD therapists are trained in exposure and response prevention, or ERP therapy, the gold standard treatment for OCD. With NoCD, you can do virtual, live face-to-face video sessions with one of their licensed, specialty-trained therapists, and they accept most major insurance plans. To find out more about NoCD, visit nocd.com. That's nocd.com to book a free 15-minute call. For people in the state of Kentucky, you can go to kentuckyocd.com. That's kentuckyocd.com and book a session with me. It's kind of like the idea that if you take the total amount of time, or let's say minutes, during which time you're experiencing intrusive thoughts, right? So you take that average amount of time these days, and let's say it's like 3 to 8 hours, or let's say it's something like 8 to 12 hours, you know, whatever it is. The idea here is that a lot of people will walk into the treatment process with this sort of unspoken expectation that through the treatment process, that over time, they're eventually not going to have any intrusive thoughts. And again, maybe they don't articulate it that way, but you follow what I'm saying. I mean, I've had this conversation a lot of times with patients, and I think that one of the most helpful parts of beginning treatment is adjusting expectations. And I think that a lot of people actually find it to be liberating and helpful to shed or to abandon this unrealistic expectation. And they find themselves more informed, and they find themselves actually with a level of real hope, because now what they're talking about is something that they have some confidence that they can achieve. Like the idea that I'm going to go from having 3 hours or 180 minutes of thoughts back to back to back to back. You know what I'm saying? Like if you take all the thoughts and you pile them side by side by side by side by side, you know, and you say, well, it's 3 hours a day on average that I'm having intrusive thoughts. The idea that somehow you're going to arrive at a place where you have like zero, period, no thoughts. For most people, they're somewhat at least skeptical that that's actually going to happen, right? But if you say, well, no, the goal here is better. It's not intrusive thoughts that are gone. It's intrusive thought frequency that's better. So now the goal isn't zero. It's from 180 minutes to, let's say, 120 minutes, right? You're going from 3 hours to 2 hours. And that's the goal. And for a lot of people, they believe actually that I can do that. I believe actually that I can work some process, and through that process, I can find myself in a better place in terms of intrusive thought frequency and maybe anxiety intensity. And so they work this process, and they work hard at it, and they do what they're supposed to do. They comply with treatment protocol. And they find, sure enough, that within 3 weeks or 4 weeks or maybe 5 weeks of beginning the treatment process, they are experiencing some difference in intrusive thought frequency. They can kind of look in their rearview mirror and remember, oh, this is what it was like a month ago. I remember this. And this is my average day now. And when you get there, you kind of talk together about, okay, how did you get here? What is it that you did differently from the norm? You know, the way that you used to interact with your anxiety system. What's different today? And hopefully they're getting the idea that it's becoming crystallized in their thinking, and they're recognizing, okay, I'm experiencing some difference here. And come to think of it, I am doing something different here. Now, let me put the two together. As I'm doing something different, that is to say, I'm working pretty hard to stop compulsions. I'm definitely working harder at it these days. And I think I do have some more control over the compulsive behaviors. And I can see how that change is actually affecting a reduction in intrusive thought frequency. And so now they have some maybe confidence in that process. So the goal was 3 hours to 2 hours, you might say. But now that they're at 2 hours and they have some idea as to how they got here, now there's a greater level of confidence and maybe an increased intensity or determination to work at it, right? So now I have some idea as to what to do. And I have some confidence that that is going to continue to produce a meaningful result for me, right? What I've been doing seems to be working. So now I'm not just going to do it more. I'm going to work harder at doing it. And then we're working from 2 hours down to an hour and a half. And from an hour and a half, maybe down to 30 minutes of intrusive thoughts a day, and maybe even less time than that eventually. So, but again, the idea isn't like a blank piece of paper. It's not zero. That's not the goal, because that's in all likelihood not going to happen. So we don't set that up as, well, this is our goal, and therefore this should be your expectation. No, again, I would say better, not gone, better. And better means decreased intrusive thought frequency and anxiety intensity. Decreased. It's better. It's not gone. And so I think that this question that people often ask of well, how do I get rid of the intrusive thoughts? It's a wrongheaded question that offers an expectation that is, for most people, unrealistic. So a better question than how do I get rid of them is how do I reduce them? And this question opens up, I think, a really helpful dialogue. And the reason I say that is because when we start talking about reducing the frequency of intrusive thoughts, now we're recognizing that the intrusive thoughts are merely a cog in the machine. They're a piece, and patients do well to understand this. A lot of people walk into the treatment process with this sort of idea in their head that the thoughts are the problem, and I've got to get rid of the thoughts. But the truth is that the thoughts are but a part of a broader problem. But collectively, the problem is the OCD. And no patient is going to succeed at doing more and more, enough compulsions in order to get rid of the thoughts. But that's the conventional wisdom. Let me pile on more and more and more compulsions, and I'll essentially wash these things out. I'll do so many compulsions that the thoughts will go away. But remember, the thoughts are but a cog in the machine. So the more you're fueling the machine, the more the thoughts are going to happen. You've got to focus your attention, your effort, your energy, your time on the right things. Because if you're focused on the wrong things, the problem isn't going to change. You know, I've had this conversation lots and lots of times too with patients, like the idea that you've tried the other way and it didn't work. You've worked at engaging all these compulsions across the day for weeks and months at a time. And well, here you are sitting with me because that didn't work. So I don't want you to walk into the treatment process thinking you're going to do the same old thing and somehow you're going to receive a different result, because you're not. You're not going to receive a different result. My question to you becomes, are you willing to try something else? What do you have to lose by trying something else? You know, and sometimes I'll give an example of maybe somebody with a specific phobia, like a fear of snakes or of spiders or a fear of heights. Or maybe someone with OCD, like contamination OCD or some kind of harm OCD, you know, or something like this, where she's working really hard, not at getting rid of her anxiety in relationship to this phobic object or relative to contamination. She's focused on prolonged and repetitive exposures, and she's focused on stopping behaviors that are aimed at trying to get rid of the anxiety or prevent the intrusive thoughts, you know, whatever it is. And my question to the patient becomes, what do you think is going to happen to her anxiety level over the course of time? So she's been on the 34th floor, like staring out the window down at the city for 5 minutes. What do you think's happening to her anxiety? And they'll say, well, it's going up. You know, maybe she's at a 50 out of 100 or a 60 or a 65. Now she's been there for 5 more minutes. She's been there for 10 minutes, sort of staring down at the city. Where is her anxiety? Is it the same? Is it higher? Is it lower? What's happening? And they'll say, well, it's going up. She's getting even more anxious. Fair enough. Good. So she's been there for 5 more minutes. Now she's been there for 15 minutes And remember, she's focused on stopping her behavioral responses to anxiety and or the intrusive thoughts causing it. So any kind of like clinching or picking or whatever it is that she notices herself doing, she's trying to stop, and she just keeps looking out at the skyline. She keeps stopping the behaviors and she just stays there. Okay, now it's been 20 minutes. What do you think is happening to her anxiety? Is it the same? Is it higher? Is it lower? And some people will say, well, it's going up and it's going up and it's going up. And eventually it'll reach 100 and she's in a full blown panic attack. Other people will say, well, it's staying the same or whatever it is. But almost invariably, eventually we come to a place with almost every patient where the patient has this sort of aha moment that, okay, here she is. She's standing on the 34th floor, looking down at the city, and her anxiety is really, really high, but she's not doing any compulsions. She's not running away from the window. She's not picking her nails or her fingers. She's not clenching her jaw. She's really working hard to stop all that stuff. And the realization comes that eventually the anxiety starts to change on its own. And so we'll keep going. Okay, it's been 30 minutes. What's happening to her anxiety? Well, I think it's probably falling at this point. Okay, it's been 35 minutes. Remember, she's not doing any behaviors and she's just standing there in the window, staring down at the city. Where is she now? I don't know. Maybe she's at a 40 now. Okay, now it's been 40 minutes, 45 minutes. Where is she now? And they imagine themselves going through an anxiety-producing situation and engaging that anxiety-producing situation along the same lines or within the same parameters. And it's like prolonged exposure without any compulsions or anxiety-managing behaviors. And in imagining it, they sort of put together for themselves, well, I think that this is probably what would happen for her, and I think that that would also happen for me. And mind you, what we're not talking about for her is like the absence of any intrusive thoughts. What they begin to realize is that, well, she might have some anxiety-producing thoughts, but the thoughts are happening less often than they were when she first stood in front of the window, and the anxiety that those thoughts elicit is not as strong or intense as it was at first. Things are changing. And by the way, her anxiety managing behaviors weren't helping. If anything, they were making things worse. So she's tried something else, and she's realized that these thoughts that she has about the phobic object or about the anxiety producing situation, whatever it is, again, are just cogs in a machine. And she's not going to change the thoughts by attacking the thoughts themselves with more and more behaviors. That's not something that has worked for her, and it's not something that the research shows works for really anybody, and it's not something that works for you. So the idea is recognizing, one, that you're never going to have no intrusive thoughts, and that, two, the intrusive thoughts are but a cog in the machine. And so you need to attack the machine itself, and you don't do that by attacking the anxiety caused by the intrusive thoughts or attacking the intrusive thoughts themselves. That is a pointless, that is a fruitless exercise, and it's only going to aggravate the system itself. No, the idea is coming to the practical realization that the machine is fueled by responses. It's her prolonged exposure to an anxiety-producing situation, allowing the thoughts to happen, which, yeah, that's counterintuitive. That sounds terribly distressing, and fair enough. I'm not saying that it isn't for her. I'm not saying that as she does it, her anxiety isn't climbing, that there isn't a real degree to which this feels like a really bad idea. No, I'm not saying those things. Maybe it does feel like a bad idea. Maybe her anxiety is going up the longer she stands at the window. But my point is that eventually she crests a hill, that eventually things do start to change, and that eventually the anxiety, you might say, can't go any higher than it is right now. It has nowhere else to go, but eventually down. And if she can hang in there long enough, she's going to find that, yeah, the anxiety starts to shift. It starts to change. That her focus on stopping behaviors actually meant that in that isolated incident, her intrusive thought frequency decreased and the level of anxiety associated with those thoughts decreased too. And with repetition over time, what she's going to realize is that at large, her intrusive thought frequency is decreasing. Again, it's not gone, it's less often. The anxiety elicited by the thoughts is less intense than it used to be. Again, not gone, but it's better. The realization was the thoughts are a cog in the machine. And if she walks into this thing with the question, how can I get rid of the thoughts? Not only will she never get rid of the thoughts, she'll also find that she never really gets better. But if she shifts her attention, realizing that the thoughts are a cog in the machine, and she focuses instead on adjusting her responses and really working hard to resist and ultimately prevent them, she's going to find that the system gets weaker and weaker. The question isn't, how do I get rid of the intrusive thought? Because again, it sets you up for an expectation that you will never realize. The question becomes, how do I decrease intrusive thought frequency and anxiety intensity? How do I get better?
Well, that's it for another episode of OCD Straight Talk. Feel free to reach out with any questions you might have to chrislines04@gmail.com. If you found the podcast helpful, consider giving it a 5-star rating or subscribing to OCD Straight Talk for structured help with your anxiety or OCD symptoms.